is Rav Aaron Lapiansky is going to be here for Shabbos. Anyone who has the opportunity to come, won't regret the opportunity. It's an amazing chance. He'll be speaking three times over Shabbos, anytime you go, you'll gain a tremendous amount. So if you're able to make it, you definitely should. And number three is, if anyone's interested, we're having a summer kollel in Boston for 3 weeks, or almost 3 weeks in July. If you're possibly interested, it's also a great opportunity to learn in a different environment, have a hashpa on a community, and also have a very good time. So please let me know. So going forward for the rest of this month and the shiurim we have left, I thought we would switch styles a little bit and do bigger topics, but a little more quickly, since we have really only focused so far on one sugya this month. So I don't think we finished it either, but at the very least, we had a chance to do that a little more slowly, and we'll try to do one topic each week a little more quickly. So today we're going to do the topic of Bechira Chafshis. Open up your source books to page 82. Again, if anyone doesn't have a copy of this or forgot one, they're more in front.
Is this the one from the first semester?
No, first this semester. The Rambam writes that free will is the Iker HaGadol, the Hu Amud HaTorah VaMitzvos. It is a Iker that is the basis of all Torah mitzvos. What's fascinating is that even though it would seem that it's a relatively obvious notion that we are free, it is an idea that has been challenged throughout the ages and continues to remain the subject of controversy, which is why I think it's very important to try to understand what it is. We feel free. Every day we see before us two paths, and we feel like we have to choose between each of these two options. Sometimes we feel like we make the right choice. Sometimes we feel like we make the wrong choice. But we do feel like we're free. But as I said before, this is a notion that's been challenged. In ancient times, people challenged it based off of the notion of fate, that somehow or another a person's fate is determined, it is deterministic. In the modern context, it is challenged based off of neuroscience and psychology and the like. If we have a chance, we'll actually address briefly some of those critiques and how one would respond to them. I think when you actually think about the matter carefully, they aren't challenges, but the Rishonim dealt with other types of issues, questions like how to resolve the seeming contradiction between free will and divine foreknowledge, how to reconcile free will and the various psukim, like those in Yetzias Mitzrayim, which imply that that Hashem sometimes takes away free will. And again, though we'll do this topic relatively quickly, we'll hopefully have a chance to address some of these issues. The truth is that already from the beginning of time, man has attempted to absolve himself of responsibility based off of his denial of freedom. If you take a look at the first source on page 82, V'af kayin kach amar ani haragti oso barasa b'yetzer hara atash omer esakol v'lihi nachta oso lahargo atahu sharagto shenikres anochi shilu kibalta karbani kamoso lo hayisi miskanebo. So Kayin here gives three or four excuses in which he argues he should be absolved from the responsibility of having killed his brother Havel, and essentially he denies his freedom. He says, it's not my fault, it's your fault, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me the Yetzer Hara, I don't really have freedom. Later in history, if you look at the next source we won't read, it's a passage from Josephus who points out that in the first century, the Iker debate between the three different flavors of Judaism at the time hinged upon their position of free will versus fate, versus hashkacha, with only authentic Judaism believing both in free will and at the same time the notion of hashgacha. And finally, if you take a look at the next source from Ali Shur, we'll just read the first sentence, which highlights the point we said before. Mikol akviros v'havodos hazaru sheneschadshu b'tkufos hashonos higia tkufasenu l'nekudas hashafel hakvira shel dorenu hi b'vchira atzma. The greatest kvira of our generation, there are many kviras in our generation, but perhaps the most dangerous kvira is the kvira and b'chira. Of course, you'll say, how could that be? Kofar v'ikr is a lot worse than being kofar v'b'chira. So that might be true. But everybody knows and recognizes that when you're kofar v'ikr, so that's a problem. But being kofar v'b'chira is something that can be much more subtle, and as such, something that's much more dangerous. So what we need to do is begin by discussing what does Bechira mean? What do we mean by Bechira? So the Rambam, which is bottom of page 82, writes the following. Rishus l'chol adam nesuna, imratza l'hatos atzmo, l'derech tova, v'lios tzadik ha-rishus biyado, imratza l'hatos atzmo l'derech ra'a, v'lios rasha rishus biyado. Person could choose if they wish to follow the path of good, then they have that power, and if they wish to turn to the path of evil, they have that power as well. That's interesting. Rambam first quotes this pasuk. There are other pasukim which he cites later that you might have thought are more overtly reflective of free will, like Ubacharta b'chayim, Hinei nochi nosem l'tnechem ayom etzachayim v'esachov v'esarav v'esara. But the Rambam cites this as the ideal, or this initial at least, pasuk supporting free will. And it's, of course, a pasuk from Parshas Bereishis. And the Rambam now carefully explains to us what it means. An interesting question, which we won't get into today, is the nature of Bechira Chafshis Kodem HaChet. The Rambam and the Ramban both deal with this extensively, and it's a strange idea. On the one hand, it does seem like perhaps there was less Bechira. On the other hand, clearly there was sufficient Bechira to be Chote. That question also relates to the question of Bechira Bimos HaMashiach, according to Ramban, which is, again, not for today. Anyway, so what does this pasuk mean? So the Ramban parses it. Interestingly, also Hara, which we don't have time for today. The Rambam in Ron Vuchem has a different taich of this pasuk, though I think it's fundamentally consistent, but it is a different taich. So what does this pasuk mean? Kolomar, hey min ze shel Adam, this species of man, haya yachid ba'olam, is unique in the world, right? That's what it means. Hein ha'adam haya kechad mimenu. Ve'ein min sheni domelo b'zainyan. And there's no other being in the world that is similar to man in this respect, namely with respect to Bechira. There are creatures that are lower than man, like animals. There are creatures that are higher than man, like angels. But none have Bechira like man. What is unique? Shiehu me'atzmo b'da'ato v'machshavto, yodeya hatov hara, that he alone, with his intelligence, wisdom, or ability to think, knows what's good and bad. That's what the pasuk says. Hein adam haya kechad mimenu lada'as tov hara. Ladas tov hara means the ability to discern or distinguish between good and bad. Ve'oseh kol ma shehu chafetz, and can do all that he wishes. Ve'ein mi she'akev biyado milasos hatov hara, and there is no one that will stop him from doing the good or bad. The kevan shekein, and therefore this is the hemshach of the pasuk, pen yishlach yado, lest he stretch forth his hand and take from the tree of life. So the Rambam here tells us a very important point, which is that consequential and just freedom are comprised of two points. Number one, the Rambam writes, shiyehehu me'atzmo b'dato v'machshavto yodea tov hara, meaning to say, the ability to know that which is right and that which is wrong. Even if a person were able to choose between right and wrong, but lacks the ability to know, to discern what's right or what's wrong, that would not be meaningful free will. Yes, of course you could choose, but a person can't be held accountable for those choices if they lack the ability to determine what is right and what is wrong. So, meaningful free will is rooted, number one, in the ability to know, ladas tovara, to know, to be able to figure out what's right and what's wrong. The Rambam elsewhere writes that this is rooted in the definition of Tzelem Elokim. Take a look at the next source, top of 83, second source, where the Rambam writes, Amnam Tzelem hu nofel ala tzura tibit, ratzalomar, ala nyana sherbo nis atzeim hadavar, v'haya mashehu, v'hu imraso, me'asher hu animtza hahu, asher ha'inyan hahu be'adam. Right, so what is that aspect that is resembling God in man? Hu asher bavurot yah hasaga hanoshit, u'mipnei hasaga zot hasichlit, ne'amar bo, b'tzelem Elokim barau. So what makes a person have this tzelem Elokim is what? Is, the Rambam says, this intellectual perception. In other words, what makes us human, and what is basically our intellectual capacity, and specifically the Rambam writes, that is the ability to differentiate between right and wrong. The Rambam stresses that a person on his own can know what's right and wrong, even without revelation. Of course, the Torah and revelation teaches us to a much greater degree what is right and what is wrong, but the Rambam stresses in numerous places that even without revelation, human being has the capacity to determine what's right and what's wrong. The Rambam says, therefore, a person is held accountable for evil and immoral acts, even if they have not formally been charged by a prophet. They don't know through revelation that these are wrong, because a person on his own can know right from wrong. So, Chelek, the first aspect of free will, the Rambam says, is Shehu Yodea Me'atzmo Bidato Uvemachshavto. Again, man using his intellect to know, to be Yodea Tovara. Number two is, the Rambam says, Osa Kol Mashu Chafetz. The ability, of course, to choose. And the Rambam then addresses an interesting question, which is, if we have the ability to choose, does that mean that God has ceded control over what happens in the world? After all, we have the ability to choose, which means in a certain sense that God gives up that ability to control what happens in the world. So, to a large degree, the Rambam answers yes. We look a little later, we are reading from Halacha Aleph in Parakeh of Hilchos Tshuva. If we skip down to Halacha Dalad, and I'll read it to you, it's not over here in your source books. V'al titameh v'tomar, he'ach yiyah adam oseh kol ma sheyachfotz b'yem ma'asav nesurim lo, v'chi yaseh ba'olam davar shelo b'rishus kono, v'lo chafetzo v'kasav omer, kol asher chafetz Hashem asav ha'shamayim v'aretz. If indeed it is the case that man has the ability to choose and do what he wishes, so does that mean that God does not have that control? We know Hashem controls everything. Da, shakol kechefzo yaaseh. No, in reality, everything that happens in the world is kechefzo, is according to God's wish. Va'afal pishem asav nesurin lanu. Even though it is also the case that we have the freedom to choose. Ketzad. How is that possible? How could they be reconciled? Kishem shayotzer chafetz liyos ha'esh. Sorry, ha'esh v'aruach olim lamala, v'amayim v'aret yordim lamata, v'agalgal sovev bi'igul, v'chein shabrios ha'olam, liyos kimin hagan shachafetz bo. Hashem creates a world with certain natural laws, in which, for example, fire or gases rise, and matter that's heavier falls, gravity and the like. So Hashem wants this to happen. In other words, when I drop the ball and it falls, that's happening because of the law of gravity. But that too is chefetz Hashem, because that is the way in which he created the world. Kacha chafetz liyos ha'adam mishuso biyado. Hashem wants people to have freedom. V'chol ma'asav mesurin lo, such that all of his actions are within his control. V'lo yelo, lo kofet, v'lo mosheich. And that there not be some external force forcing him to do one thing or another. Elohu me'atzmo uvidato shenasan lo hakel, rather, Hashem wants that every individual be able to do that which they wish. So what is the Rambam answering? The Rambam saying is that if I go ahead and I choose to do the wrong thing, to do an Aveira, is that Ratzon Hashem? Yes. Why? Because it's Ratzon Hashem that I have the ability to freely choose, for me to have Bechira Chafshis, and therefore, my choice is Ratzon Hashem. Everything is Ratzon Hashem, because Hashem wants me to have that Bechira. In a certain sense, you could say, it's not Ratzon Hashem, Hashem wishes that I would have made a different choice. We'll talk about if that makes any sense or not a little later, perhaps another time. But fundamentally, what the Rambam is saying is, yes, indeed, Hashem has ceded a certain control. Of course, he has the ability to control our choices. According to Rambam, in fact, on occasion, God might intervene and control a person's choices. But generally speaking, he does not. He grants us the freedom. And that's because he wants us to be free. Now, the Rambam adds that that is the whole purpose of Torah and mitzvos. Because what value is there in Torah and mitzvos if Hashem has predetermined our destiny, has decreed that we'll do them or we won't do them? Again, from here, this is Halacha Dalet. Ilu haya kel gozer al adam liyos tzadik or rasha. Ilu haya Hashem, haya sham davar shemoshech es adam biikar toldato. L'derech min adrachim, o l'mada min amadaos, o l'deh min adeos, o l'masa min amaisim. K'mo shebodim elibam atipshim hovrei shamayim. He'ach yeh mitzaveh lanu, al yedeh nevi'im, aseh kach, v'al taseh kach. He'tivu darcheichem, v'al terchu acharei v'sha'achem. V'hu mitchilas b'riyaso, kvar nigzar alav. O toldoto, timshoch oso. It wouldn't make sense for Hashem to give us mitzvos if he's already created us in such a way that we will choose this way, if our nature and our nurture are going to be determinative such that we don't have any choice. So then what would the value of mitzvos be? Right? Uma makom haya l'chol ha'Torah kula uve'eze din uve'eze mishpat nifra min ha'rasha o mishalei schar l'tzadik. Moreover, not only would the entire Torah be pointless, but there would be a total lack of justice, because it would not be fair to reward those who do good and punish those who do bad, if, after all, we have no bechira. Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat. And therefore, like we said before, the whole notion of Torah is really predicated on free will. The Ramban in Dvarim on the Perek Lamed, which you have on somewhere. Anyway, there it is. Pot 83. Yeah. So makes this point particularly forcefully. He says, "V'nira minak suvim inyan zesh omer ki mizman abriya." Haysa rishus biyad ha'adam, lasos kirtzono, tzadik o rasha, l'chozman haTorah kein, kidei shielam zchus bivchirasam batov, ve'onesh bertzosam bera. So Ramban here alludes to perhaps an additional point, which is that there would be no point in the entire Bria if we didn't have freedom of choice. What value would there be in creating a universe in which all the creations were automatons programmed to do either good or evil? Since there is a purpose in creation, the Ramban writes, then that must include free will, at least for part of the time. The Ramban here writes that's true from the beginning of Bria, which includes his initial existence in Gan Eden, which is significant for understanding Ramban's view. And he says it's true Kolzman Shatorah, Kolzman HaTorah over here, which is our current state. Ramban here does leave open the possibility that we won't have Bechira B'Yemos HaMashiach, which does seem to be the Ramban's view, though it's a bit complex. So, in a sense, this is obvious, but it's worth spelling out. If we were to ask, how do we know we have Bechira? So, Rav Sadia Gaon in Emunos Videos tells us that we can prove it in four different ways. Turn for a moment to page 85 towards the bottom. So first of all, we can prove it from experience. The Ramban, the Rav Sadia Gaon says, I guess really top of 85, Min HaMuchash. As we've mentioned before, Rav Sadia Gaon, generally speaking, when he tries to demonstrate things, he shows it's true on many different levels. So number one is based off of our own feeling of freedom, right? We all feel freedom. Now, a person could question that perception. Those who deny freedom will say that it's an illusion, but is there, if you're going to question that perception, you have to have a good reason to question that perception. Otherwise, one can, in fact, trust that feeling of freedom and assume that it is real. Number two is logic. Ilu hayam machricho, lo hayam makom shitzaveo v'yaziru, like we said before. If it were the case that we weren't free, so what would the point be of Torah and mitzvos? Number three, we find it from Psukim, scripture, one pasuk yisot, sites that we referred to earlier, Haidosi bachem ayom, es ha-shemayim ves aretz, ha-chaim ve-amaves nasati lefanecha, bracha ve-aklalo, v'charta b'chayim, l'man t'yichiyat ha-bzarecha, li'avas ha-shem alokecha, l'shmo v'kolo, l'dav kabo. Note, by the way, that this pasuk highlights an important point, which perhaps we will get back to today, maybe next time, which is that the scope of Bechira includes emotions, at least to some degree. That the pasuk says it's within our freedom not just to choose in terms of our actions, but also li'ahavas Hashem Elokecha, not just l'shma b'kolo. So, and that's presumed by numerous mitzvos that seem to relate to emotions and thoughts and the like. And he quotes other psukim, Mipi Elyon Lo Seitzei HaRaos VaHatov. At least according to the Rambam, what this means is that Mipi Elyon, from on high, good and bad does not emanate, meaning to say the choice to do good and bad doesn't come from God, but it is our choice. And finally, Rav Sadia Gaon says, we know this based off of tradition, and one of the passages that's most often cited to highlight in the idea of Bechira from Chazal is the following Gemara, again, towards the bottom of page 86. Amar Chanina, Kol B'Yishamayim, Chutz Mi Yira Shamayim, Shenemar, Ata Yisrael Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimach, Ki Im Lirah. Hakol Bidei Shemayim means everything is in God's hands, except for Yirah Shemayim. What does that mean? That when it comes to matters of Yirah Shemayim, so that's not in God's hands, God gives that over to us. It's in our hands. Whether or not we will be Yirei Shemayim is left to us. So while many matters are not in our power, as Rashi explains over there, in the next source, Akol Baal Adam Yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kegon Aruch Katzar Ani Ashir Chacham Shote Lavan Shachor, many of the things that happen in our life are not really in our hands. Our health, our the level of our prosperity. Sorry?
Sinim Upachim.
So, okay, so that's another place where we say Zin Bidei Shemayim, Sinim Upachim. We'll say that we talked about that when we did. In our previous sukkah, when we did Hashkacha.
Yeah.
So, but everything, many things in our life are not really in our control. We could try to be rich and healthy and do actions perhaps that can contribute to health or wealth, but in the end of the day, it's Biyad Hashem. However, Aval Tzadik V'Rasha, when it comes to Tzadik V'Rasha, Eino Ba'al Yedei Shamayim, Ezu Maser B'Yado Shel Adam, that does not come Yedei Shamayim, rather it is in man's hand. V'Nasan L'Fanav Shnei Drachim, V'Hu Yivchar Lira Shamayim. And this idea of Rashi really comes from another Gemara. It's a Gemara in Nida, which makes a very similar point. Darash Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Oso Malach Hamemun Al Rayon Laila Shemo V'No Tel Tipo Mamidos Nekodesh Baruch Hu V'Omer Lefanav Yivona Shalolam Tipa Zumat Eileha. So that initial Tipa that will become the person, so that is placed before God, and Hashem says, you know, Mat Eileha Gibor Chalash Chacham Otipesh Ashiro Ani. So whether this tipa will be a tzaddik or a rasha, that is not determined by God. Now, what exactly is meant by Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyira Shemayim? What is meant by Yira Shemayim? So, the Rambam, in a number of sources, including Tshuvas HaRambam, which is on page 87, points out that Yira Shemayim, this is in a letter to Avadya Ger, should be defined very broadly. Chol ma'aseh b'nei adam b'chlal yira shamayim hei. Meaning to say, all of the choices we make in life, all human choices, are volitional, and they fall within the purview of yira shamayim. And this is an important thing, because a lot of times you might have thought that yira shamayim should be defined narrowly as religious acts. To do this mitzvah or not to do mitzvah. You know, whether I get up on time for shachris or I hit snooze and sleep a little bit late, that's Yira Shemayim. But that's not necessarily including what cereal I choose for breakfast. So what the Rambam writes over here is that no, that what cereal I choose for breakfast is also Bechlal Yira Shemayim. When we say Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyira Shemayim, that includes my choice of cereal for breakfast. And that too is Bechlal Yira Shemayim. Why? Because as the Rambam explains elsewhere, all of a person's actions should be done L'Shem Shemayim. And therefore, Yira Shemayim, when the Gemara says Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyira Shemayim, Yira Shemayim really includes all of the decisions that we make. Because Yira Shemayim really affects all the decisions that I make. And as such, when the Gemara says Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyira Shemayim, so then that includes even this. Yes.
I mean, I don't know if this is a relevant point, but when you eat cereal, when you choose a cereal, you want to choose a kosher cereal.
Kosher cereal, but maybe also healthy cereal, and how much I eat, and all these questions. Yeah.
I mean, that also touches on Yira Shemayim.
Yeah, that's my point.
one shouldn't overeat and
exactly
take his mind away from Torah.
100%. Now, a remarkable corollary to this incredible level of Bechir that we have is made here by the Ramchal and Derech Hashem you have over here. Ve'ulam b'ma'aseihem shel Yisrael tala ha'don baruch hu tikkun kol abriya v'iluya k'moshe zacharnu. The decisions that are made by Jewish people, because we have that freedom, so in a sense, the tikkun of the entire Bria is totally in the decisions that we make. V'shibed kaviyachol es hanagaso lefa'alam lahair ulehashbia. So memela, what comes out is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki'ilu kaviyachol is mishabed himself to the decisions that we make. For example, the extent to which he's going to be mashpia, o lahastir o lehis aleim chas v'shalom al pi ma'aseihem. We noted before, in a sense, the Rambam makes this very same point. Okay, so now I'd like to turn to one of the most challenging aspects of Bechira Chafshis, and that is the question of divine foreknowledge and free will. You might think this is a philosophical question that doesn't bother people much anymore, because after all, nobody studies philosophy anymore. But the truth is that I've been asked this question perhaps more than any other question. A lot of times people don't realize they're even asking this question. But in the end of the day, that's the question they're asking, which is it possible for us to be free if, after all, Hashem knows what we're going to choose? Sometimes it's phrased that way, sometimes it's phrased differently. This is a issue that the Rishonim dealt with at length. I don't know if I'll have a chance to see all the answers today. In your source books, I have 8 answers to this question. We'll maybe focus today on 3 or 4 of the most important ones. The first approach we're going to look at is explained by Rav Sadia Gaon in Emunos Videos and developed by the Rivash and other thinkers. And the point that they make is that there actually is logical compatibility between divine foreknowledge and free will. Specifically, Rav Sadia Gaon writes that while it is the case that God knows in advance what we're going to choose, his knowledge is not the cause of our choice. Instead, the cause of our choice is our own free will. So essentially what he's saying is God knows what we are going to freely choose. Rasad gives an example. I know that tomorrow the sun is going to rise tomorrow. Just because I know that that's going to happen, that doesn't mean that I'm the cause for its happening. I'm not the cause, though I know it's going to happen. Let's take a look at what he writes. V'im Tomar, again, we're on page 891. The second passage from Rav Sadia Gaon. V'im Tomar, Kevan Shiyodeh B'mashi Yiyah, V'kfar Yadash Adam Yimre Dvaro, since he knows in advance that a person is going to rebel against him, Hare Mukhrach Adam Lahamros, it then is the case that necessarily a person must rebel, Kadesh Tiskayem Yidiyaso. And he says, no, Homer Cain, Ein Lo Raya Shiyidiyasa Bore Es Hadvarim Hu Sibas Havayasan. No, there is no Raya that God's knowledge is the cause of the thing happening. Ve'eno Ela Davar Shenidmelo O Shamro Bizadom. Either he's making a logical error or he's intentionally confusing two things. Kilu Yidias Hashem Es Hadavar Hi Sibas Hayos Hadavar Ki Az Hayu Hadvarim Kdumim. If it were the case that God's knowledge is the cause for it to happen, then indeed it would be the case that things would be preordained and there wouldn't be freedom. However, that's not the case. Rivash as you hear here below, develops the ice idea a little bit. Anyone who was in Yeshiva College and took Dr. Johnson for ancient and medieval philosophy would know that he too is a fan of this argument, and he tries to show, I think compellingly, that the presumption that there is a contradiction between free will and divine foreknowledge, if you actually write out the argument in steps, is the error of the slipped modal operator. Specifically, it's the assumption that if something is true, it's necessarily true. And that's not true. Something may be true, but it's not necessarily true. When we say necessarily true, it means it couldn't be otherwise, or it is the case. That is the case in all possible worlds. So, while it's true that Hashem knows tomorrow whether I will get up early to learn or sleep late, it's not necessarily true that I'll do so, which means it could be otherwise. And that being the case, then there's no reason why there would be a contradiction between free will and foreknowledge. Now, intuitively, that seems incompatible. When you think about it, and you say, well, how could that be? Hashem knows I'm going to do it, so of course I'm going to do it. No, that's a logical error. There are lots of things that are logical errors that might seem to not make sense. But that's exactly, I think, the point that the Rivash, Rasag, and other thinkers are making, and that there is, again, though intuitively, when you think about it, at first it doesn't seem this way, but really there is absolutely no reason why God's knowledge of what I'm going to do necessarily makes it the case that I have to do that, and therefore I could still have free will. Or again, the way Rasag puts it is, he knows in advance what I'm freely going to choose. The second approach we'll see is that expressed by the Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva, Parakeh Halacha Hey, which you have on page 92. Shema Tomar, V'halo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodea Kol Ma Sheyiyah, V'kodem Sheyiyah Yada, Shezeh Yatzadik O Rasha, O Lo Yada, Im Yada Shehu Yatzadik, V'yafshar Shelo Yatzadik, V'im Tomar Sheyada Sheyatzadik, V'yafshar Sheyiyah Rasha, Hare Lo Yada Al Buryo. So that's the question everybody asks. If he knows, how could it be otherwise? And if there is choice, that must mean he doesn't know. Da. Shetshubas she'ela zo. It's interesting, by the way, in Mor Nebuchim he says an answer more along the lines of the first answer that we said. At least that might be what he's saying. But here he gives a different approach. And I think it's consistent, but I guess we don't have time today to explain how. Da. Shetshuba she'ela zo arucha me'eretz mida. So, know first of all that the answer to this question is a difficult answer, something that's hard to understand, and that is premised on many ideas. This is what you have to understand. Shem v'da'atam shnayim. When we know something, so we know things from things that are outside of us. For example, I know things because I observe them. I watch them, I read them, I'm taught them, and the like. But the source of my knowledge is outside of me. And moreover, it is external to me, meaning to say that there is me and my knowledge. We talk about Hashem's achdus. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What is meant by achdus Hashem? So this is a very important principle, which again is not the time to elaborate. But achdus doesn't just mean one and not two or three or four. We're not just coming to say that there's not multiple gods. But we're saying that God is simple in the sense of not being comprised of multiple parts. Not just physical parts, but even non-physical parts. It's not the case that there's God and his knowledge and the like. When it comes to me, for example, today I might learn something. I didn't know it at the beginning of the day. I know it at the end of the day. And by tomorrow I might have forgotten it, right? Does that mean that I fundamentally changed or no? That's because we are not the same as our knowledge. But not so with respect to God. God is one in the sense of absolutely simple, meaning to say not comprised of parts. Elohu yis'ale shemo v'da'ato echad, v'ein da'ato shel adam yichola la'asig davar ze'al bo'yo. And the truth is, this idea, the notion of Achdus Hashem, is not something that we can really understand. We should try to understand it, we can somewhat understand it, but we can't fully understand it. Ukshein koach v'adam la'asig v'limtso amitasa borei, shenemar ki lo yirani hadam v'chai. Just like we can't understand God's essence, as the pasuk says, ki lo yirani hadam v'chai, ein koach v'adam la'asig v'limtso da'ato shel borei. We also can't understand the way God knows things. Hu shanavi amar ki lo machshavosai machshavosechem v'lo darcheichem d'rachai. The Navi is telling us that the way we think, the way we know things, are different than the way God knows things, and we can't really understand fully the way God knows things. V'kevan shekein hu ein banu koach ledai ach yeda kadosh baruch hu kol habruim v'amasim. So we don't really know how God knows things. Now, let's elaborate here. The Rambam seems to be saying, and this explanation is fleshed out a little more in the Avodas HaMelech, which you have over here in page 93. The Rambam seems to acknowledge that it might be the case that there would be a contradiction between free will and foreknowledge if it were the case that God's knowledge was known to God in the same manner in which we know knowledge, namely from something external to us. If, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what we're going to do tomorrow. Let's say I know what you're going to do tomorrow. How do I know what you're going to do tomorrow? Because I can watch the video of your actions tomorrow, today. There's a video of what you're going to do tomorrow, and I can watch that video. So if I were to know what you're going to do tomorrow, because I watched that video, so then, in fact, it would be the case that you couldn't do otherwise. I've watched that video, I've seen what you're going to do tomorrow, and tomorrow you couldn't do anything other than that which I already saw today, what you're going to do tomorrow, in which case you wouldn't really be free tomorrow. So if we were to know what somebody is going to do in advance, then in fact they might not be free. Because we know things through that which is external to us. But God's knowledge of what we're going to do tomorrow has nothing to do with that. God knows what we're going to do tomorrow from entirely within himself. He knows everything that he knows, and in fact he knows everything, from within himself, not from without himself. Now, knowledge that is from within does not contradict free will. And therefore, when we are able to appreciate, the Rambam says, the difference between the way in which we know things versus the way in which God knows things, so then we will understand that in fact there is no contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will. The Rambam, though, acknowledges, yes? Maybe we'll try to. But admittedly, the Rambam tells us this is something that's very hard, if not impossible, for us to fully understand. But we'll try to elaborate a little bit. Let's finish reading in the Rambam. Aval neida b'lisafek shemaseh adam b'yad ha'adam b'en ha'kadosh baruch hu moshcho v'lo gozer alav lasos kach. But we should know with certainty that the two things are true. namely that there is free will. God does not decree what we're going to do, and moreover that there is also foreknowledge. The lo mipnei kabbalas hadas neuda davar zeh. We don't just know this because of a mesorah, because of religious teachings, but ela birayos bruros medivrei chachmah can be proven philosophically, logically. Umipnei zeh ne'amar b'nevuah shedanin es adam al ma'asav kfi ma'asav im tov im ra. Hence, a person is judged based off the choices he made. Hu ikar shekol divrei hanevi'im hanevuah tluyin bo. So, again, the Rambam tells us, first of all, that we're not really going to fully understand this resolution, just as we can't understand God. But the root of understanding it is distinguishing between human knowledge and divine knowledge. And really, to better understand this, we're a little short on time, so I don't know if we'll do it now, but you have to go back to the Rambam in Hilchos Yisod Dei HaTorah Perek Beis, a part of which you have cited on page 92, and also in the Mor Nevuchim, which you have on the bottom of 92, going on to 93, where the Rambam elaborates on this idea of the difference between human knowledge and divine knowledge. Now, it's an important point to stress this, even if we can't understand exactly how it answers the question, which is, there are some people who I think misunderstand this Rambam. Let's ask the question this way. Has the Rambam answered his question? And the answer is, so some people read the Rambam as saying no. Some people just read this Rambam and they say no, the Rambam just said both are true, but you can't understand how both are true. The Rambam is not exactly saying that. The Rambam is actually offering a resolution. He's saying that there is compatibility between divine foreknowledge and free will, even if there's no compatibility between human foreknowledge and free will. Because, like he said, when it comes to knowledge which is internal, then that knowledge does not preclude the possibility of freedom, whereas when it comes to knowledge that is external, that might in fact preclude the possibility of freedom. In fact, there's a very fascinating Meshe Chachma who has a diuk to explain this. The Rambam in Parkei, as we've just read, addresses the question of free will and foreknowledge, and he says basically that they're compatible. Then in Perek Vav, the next Perek in Hilchos Teshuva, the Rambam asks the question, how can the Egyptians, I guess we'll do a little in Yana Dioma today, how can the Egyptians be held accountable for persecuting and enslaving the Jewish people? After all, Hashem had already told Abraham, Yadoa teda ki ger yazaracha be'etz lo lahem v'avadum v'inu osam arba me'o shana. So it doesn't make any sense. It seems to be totally unfair. So the Lecha Mishnah asks, didn't the Rambam already ask this question and give an answer? Right? Seems to be asking the same question in Parakei, and then again in Perek Vav. Parakei, Stira gives an answer. Perek Vav, he asks the question again, right? How can the Egyptians be punished if Hashem knew? And he gives a different answer. He says, well, actually, each individual Egyptian was free, though the enslavement and persecution was going to happen either way, but that did not take away the freedom of each individual actor. Lahavdil, I don't know, maybe not Lahavdil, right? Just like in World War II, so there were Germans who killed Jews, there were Germans that didn't actively kill, but they didn't do anything to help or save the Jews, and there were Germans who saved lives. So the same thing is true with Egyptians. There were Egyptians that mamish threw Jews into the river, There were Egyptians that were more passive. There were Egyptians that were perhaps Yirei Hashem, like the Pasuk says. That's how they got all the animals for Kriyas Yamsa from. So there was freedom. So he basically asked the same question twice, gives two different answers. So the Lecha Mishnah is bothered by that question. So the Or Sameach says, it's not a kasha at all. Why? Because, what was his answer in Parakei? There's no stira between divine foreknowledge and
free will.
Now, what happened at the Bris Beina Besarim? Was it divine foreknowledge any longer? No. Because Hashem told Avraham Avinu that it would happen. Now, it was human foreknowledge. Ah, if that's true, so the answer from Parakei is totally irrelevant. It doesn't help. Different question, and therefore calls for a different answer. The answer is that actually, if Hashem had told Avraham Avinu every single Egyptian was going to persecute the Jews, then in fact, there would be a problem. It would not have been fair to punish the Egyptians, because human foreknowledge would in fact contradict free will, and it would be unfair. But the Rambam says that isn't the case. The Egyptians on an individual level still had freedom. I could know what's going to happen in a macro scale, even though I don't know what's going to happen for each individual, because each individual still has freedom. Yeah.
So we assume that Avraham was the Egyptian, and not just like some
sort. You could take even further. The Rambam doesn't make that point, but you could use the Rambam's answer to even take that one step further and say that in the Bris Beina Besarim it doesn't even say it has to be the Egyptians. Yeah. It says Baruch Olam. So that Zera could have been Mekuyim by any number of nations. No, that's the answer. The answer is that it wasn't foreknowledge, because there was room left for all sorts of free choices to be made. Which country, in the country, which person, and the like. You're just adding to Rambam's answer, which makes a lot of sense. Now, what time is it? Okay, we're a little late. We'll skip for a moment to perhaps the most straightforward answer, which you have over here on page 106, which is the notion that the whole question doesn't make any sense, because the question is premised on God's existing within time. And God does not exist within time. He's not limited by time. He created time. What's our question? Our question is, how could I be free to choose what I'm going to do tomorrow if God already knows what I'm going to do today? Well, those terms are human terms. Today, tomorrow, those are terms that exist within time. But for God, who is not bound by time or limited by time, in fact, he created time, so the terms used in a question simply don't make sense. Today, tomorrow, are not relevant terms for someone who is Hayahova V'yiyah. And that being the case, the question doesn't even begin to get off the ground. Take a look at these sources over here, Medrash Shmuel and others who make this point. So until now, all of our approaches, we've basically given three answers to this question, have all assumed that there is absolute divine foreknowledge, there is absolute freedom of will, and somehow or another, those two are compatible. There are certain thinkers, and I think the mainstream approaches more or less fall in those by along those lines. In other words, they uphold those two premises and show that they are somehow compatible, whether or not we could fully understand it or not. There are some sources, and we'll briefly consider some of them now, who resolve the question by either somewhat limiting foreknowledge or somewhat limiting freedom. We'll begin with the Ravid. So go back to page 93. The Ravid is not very clear what he's saying, but let's read it carefully. The Ravid first challenges methodologically the Rambam's approach to this, raising a question that you can't really answer. We pointed out that perhaps he is really answering it. But then the Ravid writes this follows. Afal pi she'ein tshuva nitzachas al zeh, tov hu l'smoch lo k'tzas tshuva. So first of all, the Ravid admits that this is only a partial solution. Vomer, im hayu tzidkas ha'adam v'rish aso t'luyim b'gzeiras ha'borei, if it were the case that the righteousness of a person or his wickedness were dependent upon gzeiras ha'borei yisborach, so then, ayinu omrim shidiyaso hi gzeiraso. Then it would be the case that the idea is the gzeira, in which case we wouldn't have free will. V'ayalanu ha'sheila kasha me'od. V'achshab, shaborei hisirzu ha'mem shalam yedo. But that's not the case. Hashem has taken away this, has surrendered this control. U'masra b'yad ha'adam atzmo, and handed it over to man. So then, en yediaso gzeira, his knowledge is not determinative. Aval hi ki yediasa etzdagninim, shi yodim mikoach acher, ma yiyu drachav shel zeh. But rather, it is like the knowledge of astrologers, who know by some external means what will happen to this person or that person. Vadavar yadua shekol mikra adam katan v'gadol masru habore b'koach hamazalos. It's well known that every event, whether big or small, depends on mazalos. Ela shenasan bar haseichel liyoso machziko latzeis mitachas hamazal. But Hashem also gives man the ability to escape that fate that's decreed by the stars. V'hu ha'koach ha'nasun ba'adam li'oso tov ora. That is the capacity of man to be good or bad. V'abori yodea koach ha'mazal u'rega'av. And Hashem knows the force of the star and its times. Im yesh koach b'secha lotzio lezem yado, and whether a person has sufficient power of reason to escape that fate that's decreed by the stars, in law or not. V'zua yediya ein gzeira, but such knowledge is not determinative. But he concludes, chol zeh einenu shaveh. So what exactly does he mean? So it's not so clear. And there's more than one way to read this Ravid. In fact, the Rishonim disagree about how to read this Ravid. There's a Tshuvas HaRivashon on what the Ravid really means. The Ravid seems to be saying that the nature of God's knowledge is like the knowledge of astrologers, who know through some other force what's going to happen to a particular person. And just like an astrologer's knowledge of the future doesn't limit freedom, so too God's knowledge does not prevent self-determination. Now, had the Ravid stopped here, I would have said that God has total foreknowledge. But then the Ravid says something interesting. He says that it's well known that God gave the Mazalos control over all matters pertaining to man, and gave them the power to emerge from the shackles of mazalos and create their own destiny using their intellect. And he also knows the strength of the mazal, and whether man has the intellectual ability to overcome that, to defeat his fate. But that knowledge isn't a decree. So it sounds like Ravid is saying that while God knows a person's inclination and fortitude, he doesn't necessarily know what a person will ultimately choose. In which case, Ravid might be saying that there would be a contradiction between absolute foreknowledge and free will. If it were the case that God knew we were going to choose X, then we could not choose not X. And the Ravid then is saying, because free will is sacrosanct, God's foreknowledge is limited. Now, is that something that could be said? So if that's not what the Ravid's saying here, there were some Rishonim that do say this explicitly, the Ralbag among others. Maybe this is also the view of, more or less it's the view of the Shla you have over here. He more or less seems to say this explicitly. Other thinkers as well seem to adopt this view. And I just want to spend one moment considering whether or not this is this Nitan Layamer at all. How could we say that God doesn't fully know the future? Don't we believe that God is omniscient? He's all-powerful and all-knowing and the like? The answer, I think, is, again, whether the Ravid is saying this or not, I'm not 100% sure, but what he's saying is that if it were the case that there is a logical contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will, and it's also the case that we have free will, so it is not necessarily problematic to know, to say that God doesn't know, at least with certainty, what we're going to choose. Why not? Lamashal. We say Hashem is kol yachol, he's omnipotent, he could do anything. Is that really true? Can God destroy himself? No, because he necessarily exists. Can he multiply himself? No, because he's necessarily one. God could do anything that's conceivably possible. Now, if it is the case that it's not conceivably possible to know the future and for there to be free will, and God relinquishes that freedom, give that power, and thereby allows us to have free will, then it's not necessarily problematic to say he knows the future. In fact, if I were to ask you, how do we know Hashem knows the future? All of us take that for granted. It's not so simple. It's interesting if you look, we don't have time now to see how the Rambam answers that question. So this is an approach. It's a controversial approach, but it's an interesting approach to the topic. All right, there's much more to say about this, but alas, we're out of time. Everyone should have a good Shabbos. I hope to see you, but if I don't, so you should all have a Chag Kosher V'Sameach, and the Be'ezus Hashem will pick up afterwards.
See you early tonight.
Ah, yes.
Where is he giving to you? What's the room?
I assume in Reuben Shul.
Reuben Shul?